ladies and gents, and welcome. Welcome to a new episode of Absolute Truth Absolutely. Your host, once again, Gio. I'm glad you're able to download these podcasts and share them with your friends, with your family members, and of course, for your own spiritual nourishment and for your own encouragement, especially in the day and age that we're living in. We have a situation where we're currently facing turmoil, whether it be politically, financially, personally. It seems like it's hitting us on all sides. We're being broadsided. But of course, with the help of the Lord and all of these things, we can move forward. And in many cases, in many, many occasions, actually go unscathed if we are attentive to His word and if we heed it. So I think it's important for us to speak about these things in a frank manner, in a candid manner, so that the truth may be disseminated and by it, people will be left in freedom and to enjoy liberty. This past week, during our academy studies, I teach academy classes in our Bible Institute at church. We were talking specifically about the book of Acts and how Paul employed his citizenship in order to evade, escape certain peril and certain death at the hands of the Jews, because there were certain privileges that were afforded the Roman that we would call them exemptions from evil punishments and things that other people who were not citizens of the Roman Empire would have to endure. Why? Because there are certain privileges that come along with being a citizen. That's always been the understood maxim as it pertains to citizenship. When you are born or naturalized for a particular or in behalf of a particular country, you can afford certain privileges and exemptions that other people who are there illegally or are seeking to have citizenship but don't have it yet, they cannot have those same privileges. It is a privilege to be a citizen. It is a privilege to enjoy the rights that are afforded to us by being a citizen. It's natural. We even see this in the Bible. The only way that a person can become a citizen of heaven is if they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the only way that you are granted access, citizenship into God's kingdom, His nation, if you will, His place. There are certain criteria that one must meet in order to become a citizen. Also, one has certain responsibilities. You can't have and enjoy privileges without first assuming, undertaking certain responsibilities. It's part of life. When you run a business, you are going to run risks, you're going to make investments, but guess what? That's all part of the responsibility that comes along with owning a business. When you run a business, you also are responsible for the income distribution to your employees, for your overhead, for making sure that you manage your money properly, that you pay your taxes on time, that you run your business in a moral and a very efficient manner. All of these things are true. These maxims couldn't be truer. Even if you're an employee, you have a responsibility to show up on time, to be a responsible employee, to be somebody that the company enjoys having because they understand that your services are needed and that your services are special by being a responsible and assuming a person who assumes that responsibility continuously and has an incentive, has initiative. All these things are true. The same thing applies to citizenship. So we were talking about this, and this led me into a tangent in the class where it led me to speak about our current immigration debate in the country. And I think that this is the moment where we should deal with these things. There are certain people that would tell us that these are not grounds. The church or Christians shouldn't have to touch on political issues because it's far away from them. It's so far removed from what they actually deal with that they shouldn't even touch it with a 10-foot pole. And I would argue, just because I'm a Christian, all of a sudden my rights as a citizen, my right to free speech, my right to freely associate with whomever I feel like associating, all of those rights are no longer afforded to me. Now that is the basis for religious discrimination. That is the basis, that argument, what the person or people or entities that argue this are saying, even very Christians who readily surrender their rights are saying, no, not because you're a Christian, you have to surrender certain rights. Who said? Now that's akin to slavery. Just because you have darker skin than everyone else, you are a subhuman. You are 3/5 a person. That's not the way it works. Just because you're a Christian, just because you're a Hindu, just because you are a Mormon, a Christian, whatever the case may be, it does not mean that you are any less of a citizen, so long as you are keeping up with your responsibilities. As a citizen, being a model person, obeying the law, you have the same rights that every single American can enjoy and should enjoy, because these rights are God-given. It doesn't matter if a person is erroneously believing some weird ideology or religious dogma. The truth of the matter is that the person is free because of their God-given natural birthright. And those rights are afforded to him or her. Does not matter. It does not matter what religious affiliation you have, unless, for example, as many Muslims do, since their religion tells them they must kill the infidels, that is a violation of the law. And once you violate the law, you have surrendered your rights because you have broken the law. So there are certain responsibilities that come along with it. Nowadays, in dark, heated political climate, we hear people talking about we need to reform the immigration system. And there are many Hispanics, even many Christians, Hispanics, American, whatever the case may be, saying, yes, we need to give amnesty to illegal aliens. And when I listen to this phrase, I say to myself, are these people even listening to themselves? Obviously, they're too in love with their own voice to actually examine the words that are coming out of their mouths. It is an egregious statement. Giving amnesty to a criminal. Of course, the word criminal has such a stigma to it that we don't want to apply it to people who break the law. But it doesn't matter in which way you break the law, you are a lawbreaker. There is no such thing as a white lie, like many people say, right? Everybody says, oh, there is such a thing as a white lie, Gio. No, a lie is a lie. No matter which way you want to try to paint it, no matter how much stigma you want to remove from it, it doesn't matter how much you want to try to justify your deceit, a lie is a lie is a lie. Just like thievery is thievery is thievery. Just like adultery is adultery is adultery. Just like illegal immigration is illegal, illegal, illegal. When you subvert the laws and you infiltrate yourself into a sovereign country by disobeying the immigration laws and trying to bypass our nation of laws, our rule of law, that makes you a criminal. But nowadays we have people who are arguing the emotionalistic side of this entire dispute. They are arguing in favor of a sentimentalist, a supposed, and they use this word continuously, compassionate argument in favor of giving or granting amnesty to illegal immigrants. Now listen to this, if you pay very close attention. They are employing the compassion argument because they know that they cannot argue away their ideology employing black and white terminologies. What do I mean by this? In other words, if they were to argue this point straight up without any shading of the truth, they understand that their arguments fall short because the people that break laws are criminals. Therefore, they have to disguise their true intentions behind the cloak of sentimentalism and emotionalism. They have to appeal to a person's feelings, which we understand, those of us that are people who are not subjectively believing whatever people tell us, but we are objective as it pertains to the truth. They know that they have to feed people who are subjective, people who are relativists, they have to feed them that line in order for them to buy into their ideology. Because if you think about it straight up and down, without any shading of the truth, these people are criminals, they have violated the law, and therefore they should be punished, just as a criminal should be punished. It's funny, if this were the case, I would argue the converse. If it is true that we should argue in the form of sentimentalist, in the sentimentalist manner, in this way, then we should apply this also to the rapist, to the pedophile, to anybody that violates the law, a person who distributes drugs to children. We should say these people are just simply trying to make an honest living and the system has not allowed them to. I mean, I'm saying this. This is so repugnant to me to actually repeat what many of these people are saying, but I'm saying it because there are others that have uttered these phrases. It sickens me to my stomach, but you've heard them. You've heard people attempt to argue, well, when a woman aborts, they're not necessarily aborting a human being. They're aborting a fetus. A fetus is different than a human being. So what the heck does a person, what is the process for a person to become a person? Can the process be altered? Can we go through a different process other than abortion in order to allow, in other words, can we create a different process whereby human beings can come and, you know, they become in, or they come into existence so that abortion can continue? Of course not. There's only one way. Human births. But they employ other words. They use the emotionalist arguments and even other terminologies to describe that which people, you know, these people understand would be stigmatized. What do you mean by that, Gio? Notice how nowadays they don't use the term abortion anymore or illegal use of firearms. They speak about gun violence and they speak about women's rights and women's health. These are all subversive tactics in order to reward those that are undertaking criminal activity. Anybody that crosses our borders or any other nation's borders illegally, that person is a criminal. It does not matter what the reasons are, what the reasons have been for the person trying to cross into that sovereign nation. I understand that there are people that are willing to come here. They want to risk life and limb in order to achieve liberty. They want to escape oppressive regimes. That is totally understandable. But the truth of the matter is that we have a system in place, which is not currently enforced by the government, in order for those that are undocumented, unnaturalized, not residents, to go through that system so that they would be granted asylum in our country and eventually given residency. And then, if they behave properly and they assume the responsibilities of a citizen, they become citizens. That is the process. That is the law. But our nation, our federal government, our irresponsible bureaucrats and politicians do nothing to enforce the current laws in the books. On a daily basis, we have massive amounts of people crossing over from the Mexican to the American border, and these people go unpunished. I don't know if you heard of a recent newscast, a man in Arizona who has committed so many crimes. This guy has been deported 20 plus times, and he keeps coming back into the United States. Obviously, if a person can come back continuously, even though you have deported him, tens of times, we have an issue with our border, ladies and gentlemen. A big issue. And again, reverting back to this whole emotionalistic argument about, again, you have to be compassionate. Okay, when you have kids, if any of you have kids, imagine a pedophile were to violate your children. Would you have or would you apply the same circular reasoning to the pedophile? Absolutely not. You want the full book, the full weight of the law thrown against this guy because he has violated the laws, and not only that, he has violated an innocent life. The same thing with a murderer, the same thing with a thief. You see, especially Christians, we tend to mistake God's mercy with the rules that are in place for justice. You see, God can have mercy on a person, and God can forgive the transgressions of the person, absolutely. But nevertheless, justice must be fulfilled. That is the problem where people get caught up and they skew they blur the lines of absolutism. They say, well, this means that if God forgives, therefore the penalty will no longer have to be paid. And that is true as it pertains to salvation, as we see it in the Bible. But as it pertains to when you violate your neighbor's rights, that is a different story altogether. We're not talking about eternal salvation anymore. We're talking about the commandment that says you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. When you violate the rights of your neighbor, you are looking now at a different set of circumstances that you have to stand trial for, and you have to pay for your sins, and you have to atone for your sins. This has nothing to do with eternal salvation. Notice when Jesus approaches John the Baptist. The Baptist, the baptizer, like the old guard used to call him, John the Baptizer says to Jesus, I am not worthy to baptize you. You should be baptizing me. Jesus tells him, let us fulfill all righteousness, God's righteousness and man's righteousness. Why? Because God demanded this, that every man would be baptized. What for? Repentance. Jesus didn't need to be baptized. But notice how he said we need to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus needed to be found perfect when he was taken to that cross and he atoned for our sins. He was the atonement for our sins. So therefore, when people were looking at him, they said, wait a minute, this man was baptized. And God is looking at him and he says, wait a minute, this my son is baptized. He's fulfilling the law. Jesus, you read it in the Bible. Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. He said, I have not come to abrogate. I have not come to strip away the prophets of the law. I have come to fulfill them. Once a man fulfilled it, that's it. Now we enter into the period of grace. Absolutely. But still, we have courts. We have tribunals for those that break the law. And you have to fulfill justice when you do evil, when you infringe upon the rights of your neighbor. And what these people that are coming into the country illegally are doing are they are infringing upon the rights of citizens. Because citizens are afforded certain rights and privileges and responsibilities that come along with those rights and responsibilities. Most of the people that come into the country illegally, what do? They want to come in and have the same rights, the same privileges, without assuming the responsibility that the citizens have to assume, that they have to take on, that they have to burden. Isn't that illegal? Isn't that trampling upon your neighbor's rights? Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. When you look at the terminology behind citizen in Webster's 1828 dictionary, it says, the native of a city or an inhabitant who enjoys the freedom and privileges of the city in which he resides, the free man of a city, as distinguished from a foreigner or one not entitled to its franchises, a townsman, a man of trade, not a gentleman, an inhabitant, a dweller of a city, town or place. In a general sense, a native or permanent resident in a city or country, as the citizens of London or Philadelphia, the citizens of the United States. Number 5. In the United States, a person native or naturalized who has the privilege of exercising the elective franchise or the qualifications which enable him to vote for rulers and to purchase and hold real estate. Remember that this was written during the founding. And yet when I read the Bible, the Bible also is very clear as it pertains to citizenship. It works first and foremost in God's plan, and then secondary in our sphere. You can only be a citizen of heaven only if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as the Son of God, if you believe in him. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Philippians 3:20. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Most of the people that we have in our system, many of the people, it is said now up to 50% of people in our nation are receiving some sort of welfare payment or government help, and they're not even attempting to work. Most of these people, a lot of the people in that system, are illegal immigrants. They are stealing from those that actually work for a living and pay into the system. That is thievery. And there are many Christians that defend this by saying, oh, you have no compassion. It's thievery. It's stealing. You are stealing the fruits of the labor of other people that actually provide for their own. Not only that, there are many Christians that are actually taking these handouts and choose not to work. They say, why? If the government is paying for it. Look at what 1 Timothy 5:8 says. But if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Paul couldn't be more clear. He could not be clearer, more explicit. Last but not least, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6 and on. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day that we might be, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. Verse 10, here it is. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. It's thievery, ladies and gentlemen, what these people were doing and people are still doing nowadays. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. See, this is Paul telling Christians, don't let your heart grow cold just because you see a few busybodies not working and providing for themselves and their own. Very clearly explained. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. It couldn't be simpler, ladies and gentlemen. This issue of citizenship is a natural birthright or something conferred if you are obedient to the laws and you pledge allegiance to the nation which will now house you. It couldn't be simpler. But now we've got people arguing the opposite, saying, no, we need to confer, we need to give it, we need to give the right away. We need to give these people the same privileges that citizens enjoy, even though they have not bared the brunt of the burden that citizens have for years on end. It's akin to thievery. It's akin to theft. And these people, if they are not providing for their own by working, and by eating their own bread, and because they continually live off the efforts of others, it's called theft. And that's not loving your neighbor. That's taking advantage of him. So this political discourse that is being heard around the country, I think most people are pretty well-tuned to common sense to understand that what politicians are attempting to do and others that argue this away as this is the right thing to do, as the compassionate thing to do, they pretty much see behind the smoke screen. They are able to point to the smoking gun and they're able to cut through the deceit and understand why these people are employing emotionalistic tactics, because they know that if they were to argue their ideology without any shadiness, they would lose. They would be on the losing end. So they have to resort to feelings, which we know are not based in truth. Rather, they are based on that ground which is unstable. Emotionalism. Be very careful with these people. And anybody that tells you that this is the compassionate thing to do, this is the right thing to do, you point them to these verses. Philippians 3:20, 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 15, and 1 Timothy 5 through 8. And you say, is this the mark of a responsible citizen? Is this what a Christian is supposed to do? Is this the comportment of a responsible human being? Because if it isn't, it's akin to theft and akin to violating the rights, the God-given rights of your neighbor. That's all the time I have left for this episode. I want to thank you for enduring the truth. That's what this is all about. If you know the truth, you adopt it, the same will make you free. Thank you for downloading this podcast. Please share it with your family members and friends so that they too may know the truth of the matter. Doesn't matter how angry they might get at listening to the truth, they need to hear it. Doesn't matter how much Jesus promulgated the gospel and people were angry at him for it, he still spoke the truth because he knew that people needed to be free. Do the same. Follow in the footsteps of our Maker. Again, if you have any questions or comments, jio@lwym.org, jio@lwym.org. Visit my blog, uncompromisedtruth.wordpress.com, and the youth group's website, which I am the youth leader of, lwym.org. Until the next episode, thank you for downloading, and may the Lord shine his face upon you.